children, whether it makes sense for children to celebrate the wedding anniversary of their parents. That makes sense for the children to celebrate the wedding anniversary of their parents. But there isn't. Because if the parents wouldn't have married, the children would never have come to school. Therefore, the wedding anniversary of the parents is not only a thanksgiving for the parents married, but a thanksgiving also for their character as well. So it's an important event to the children that there was that kind of event. And the parents, this gave them that father and that mother. And this is very important. As a matter of fact, somebody asked the other day, it says that the Yitzhak is a man of Zotin of Sir, because the Yitzhak is born with a person on his birth. The Yitzhak comes only when he matures on the meeting time. So, what's the meaning of it? And how did he live 13 years without a Yitzhak? And the answer is this. What is the Yitzhak? The Yitzhak is not dead. You have to say Hashem b'chol levavcho. So the Gemara says b'shnei Yitzhak. That your avodas Hashem should be with the Yitzhak or with the Yitzhak. Could be many pshat, but what is poshet, what is sin, the simple meaning is, we have to understand what is Yitzhak. Yitzhak is the natural, there is two. There is also language says that there are two Yitzhak. There is a Yitzhak Apnimi and a Yitzhak Apitzim. Which is in a Shomayim, a person is being placed in conditions of being tested. Monsieur, this may be the Yitzhak Apitzim, but the Yitzhak Apitzim is just natural inclinations. And the natural inclinations are here because in order for our body to be sustained, we have to have. A person should like food. If not, he may starve. So therefore, the taste and the Rabbi Islam gave us a matonah, gave us a gift that we enjoy our food. And the enjoyment of food helps digestion and makes it more pleasant to take it. So those are something like this. This is what our body needs to exist. And you'll find all inclinations which we have, all of them have one purpose, to help the functioning of our system. So where is the Yitzhak? The Yitzhak is it's meant, that's very interesting. Yemin or small, right and left. It says in Yonah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the prophet Yonah about the city of Nineveh, said, wouldn't I have mercy with that big city of 120,000 people and cattle who don't know between their right and their left? So there is some kind of a concept that Yemin and Shmuel symbolize. And you'll find in languages, you'll find something. You say it's right and not right. You can say it is right and not wrong. So the expression right has two meanings. It has a meaning, the direction to the right of the person, and it has also another meaning. It's not wrong. And then people are fighting for their rights. So, it's very interesting. And what? The two hands, the right hand is the hand of initiative. The left hand is the hand of auxiliary. Is that clear? The people who are not illuminated, so they are not lefty, and the right hand is the hand of initiative, the left hand is the hand of offensive. In every action which we are doing, there should be an initiative and there is an action. Let's say we are talking about food. The purpose, the function of food is sustenance of the system. The auxiliary of food is the taste, the enjoyment. This is already an auxiliary. So the function is the right side of it. What should be the initiative? What should be the motivation? The motivation is always in the right hand. The left hand comes to help, to assist to the right hand. So therefore, in each and every activity of ours, if our motivation is the natural function, then it's the right action. If we are mixing up and we make the auxiliary as the motivation, then it's a wrong action. Is that clear with it? I think it's very clear with this. So, if a person should live a normal life, all the inclinations which we have is being used as auxiliary to the real motivation, to the right motivation. I'll show you something else which is very interesting. What's the story with that person stretching the soul? He has a sore, stretches, what happens? The sore becomes. So, what does nature play with us? What kind of trick does nature play? That we have an inclination, we have an urge to make it worse. What happens? The answer is yes. Every inclination which we have is like a bell. A person would never know when he already burned up all the calories of food and when he already needs to sustain himself, to furnish himself with more calories. So God is the minister. He gave us a feeling, it's a hunger. He feels hunger. So hunger is just the bell. It gives us a seed, because that part of the human system is an automatic part. And we don't know what's going on. The laboratory over there, we don't know what's going on in that laboratory. So, but when they need their action, it gives us a ring. It's a bell ringing, it's a seed. So our own inclinations which we have are just seed. Now the signal doesn't mean I should follow the signal. Now imagine if it's a fire. And the firehouse, they have a real big bell. A big bell, and the bell is ringing. What should I run? Should I run to the bell or should I run to the fire? Which means I hear the bell, it calls my attention, then I have to figure out what to do. And this is what Rabbi Yisrael did for humans, not for animals. An animal has an instinct, and his instinct preserves him.
A human being has an instinct, which is just a bell. But you hear the bell, figure out what to do. So, if you have a soul and you have an inclination, you have to do something, you have to do something. Filter it through your brain. So either the soul needs a doctor, or it needs some ointments to it, but don't act. Don't run to the bell. If you run to the bell, the fire in the meantime becomes bigger. It's a very nice instruction. So, and that's what Yitzhak is. Yitzhak is instead of filtering the signal through your brains and making rightful decisions how to act, you just follow the signal, you run to the bell. That's Yitzhak. So it comes out that really it is everything, any inclination that a person has a natural function, as a bell. But not. If you make this as a motivation, instead as an auxiliary, so all the inclinations are in the left. They are just to assist your motivation. To call your attention, figure out, and have a motivation. If somebody confuses the right with the left, then it becomes Yitzhak. It's very clear. So here is where right opposite of wrong and right opposite of left. And it has the concept. If you go deep to the concept of rights, this is it. So therefore, those inclinations have to born with it, to be born with a child from the day he lives his life, from the day he is born. And if he would not have it, he would not even know it by his mother. He has all this. It's necessary. The Idag and Mohan, the Anshik Nesis Akdolo, have the Anshik Nesis Akdolo who have been rebuilding the people after the Golus brother and after the Chum and the Chum. The first Chum were Abu Zorek, Yule Arayis, Yule Zorek. So it says they were mispalel that the Rebbeinu take away the Yitzhahorah of Abu Zorah, and it was taken. Then they were mispalel the Rebbeinu Shel to take away the Yitzhahorah of Arayis, all sexual desires. And they found out that it destroyed them. For 3 days, they couldn't find a fresh egg in the entire life. Because if that sexual desire is being taken away from this world, even a chicken would not lay eggs. That's what the Gemara said. So, which means that all those things are necessary. They are part of the entire system. But there is a motor and there are brakes. Now, the problem is, now when it comes to the human being, in order to balance and to handle his inclinations in the right way, he needs maturity. And you cannot expect a child to have that kind of control over his inclinations as an adult can have. So this is what the Chazal mean to say that the Yitzhak has come in at maturity. The Yitzhahore comes at birth, and the Yitzhahore comes at maturity. It makes sense. The only thing is, how can you get along 30 years without the Yitzhahore? You are getting very bad habits. That's the answer. The Rebbeinu has provided people with a substitute for it. What does that substitute tell us? It's very interesting. You know that fertility stops around middle age. People have children until about middle age and then it stops. You know why? Because fertility goes on with people that long as children who will be born, the parents will have a life expectancy to raise their children to maturity. Because children need parents. Children are born only at the parents' age when they will have parental attention and parental guidance. And what parental guidance is consists in controlling a child, in telling a child this is right and this is not right. He does it not because he has his own judgment, but he listens to his parents. So parents are really a substitute for the Yetzer until the human being becomes mature. Is that true? It seems that the Creator has a lot of engineering and very practical engineering. How everything fits. It's beautiful. Now I'm coming back to my original question. Do children have a reason to celebrate the wedding anniversary of their parents? Definitely yes. Not only they brought them to this world, but made them to be people. They substitute for their yitzhak. That's why the mitzvah of chinuch is so important. And I'll tell you something which is very, very interesting. Years ago, I don't know whether he's still alive, in Brooklyn there was a famous judge, a Jewish judge, by the name of George Leibowitz. I don't know whether you heard of him. He was very famous around the time of, before the war. It must have been in the early 50s when he wrote an article, George Leibowitz, wrote an article in Reader's Digest. As a judge, and it was by the time when juvenile delinquency started to spread. Today, people would wish to judge juvenile delinquency. At that time, it was a surprise, and people were very worried. So, Judge Leibowitz tells that he undertook an extensive trip many countries to study the statistics of juvenile delinquency. It was spreading in America, and he says he came to the conclusion after he found that the country who was suffering the least juvenile delinquency was Italy. And he went to observe life in Italy. What is it? He found there is parental respect. He found in that country, he found more parental respect than him. So he had less juvenile delinquency. Which shows you what he found. He found the relation between the influence of parents and the normal growth of children. Now, so they have a reason, children have a reason to celebrate the anniversary of their parents. This is fine. Now, a wedding usually is a feast, and then there is a nice meal, and there is entertainment. does it make a difference to the parent, to the children, to remember who was the, who led the orchestra at the parent's wedding? Or if it would be in Yerushalayim, who was the drummer? Does it make a difference to the children? It wouldn't. Huh? Is that right? Because that doesn't make any difference. Who played the drum? Parents, man. They win. Now, when we come to Agoda, it's a little different. Sure, we say, the Hila Lehotzi, I could be prophets, I could say them in the name, I have a honor, my name, my neighbor name, my brother, my name, my father, my name. Remember, you said it with Agoda. Would Akadosh not have taken ancestors out of Egypt, we would have remained over there slaves until this day. And this also needs some reflection, some explanation, because somebody would say, if they would not go out of Egypt, then the Torah would not be given to them. And what would happen to a Jewish community without Torah? It would assimilate. What's the problem, what's the question? Say, after thousands of years, we still would have been slaves to Egypt. We wouldn't have been existed. We would have already disappeared. That's a question. Huh? And there's a very interesting answer. I was always wondering, there was in the time of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, there was a very famous yeshiva. The yeshiva of Shem Beit. Students and that yeshiva were also some students. Yaakov Avinu disappeared for 14 years. And Rashi said, during 14 years, he did not permit himself to lay down at night, just took a nap sitting, because he couldn't waste a minute in that yeshiva. He left the yeshiva by Yishka Bamoki Maharaj. He said that when he lay down. So it must lead us. Can you imagine a yeshiva where Yaakov Avinu was a yeshiva in Bechor? Do you know why he was there 14 years? Yaakov Avinu is leaving his parents' house at the age of 62. And his parents are sending him to find himself a friend. Now, he's not a youngster. His mother knew that she also saved his life from Esau. But she also was sincere by saying, it's time for you to go and find yourself a friend. And the father definitely does. So that youngster, 63 years old, on the way to finding a wife, disappears for 14 years in Abyss Meadows. And then he comes, and when he comes to Lavan, he is already 77 years old, and that's his marriage. Why did you run? You know what the answer is? It's so simple. Yaakov Avinu knew that he's going to Lavan. The environment is not the best. It's not the house of Yitzchak. And later, when he says to Rochel, when Rochel tells him, my father is a crook, he says, I can be his brother. Which means, he says, if you'll try to outsmart me, I'll try to outsmart him. Now, this is not the best training of honesty, that you have to be with a crook and constantly outsmart a crook. Why does a camel do? Why does a camel carry so much, has a capacity of carrying a lot of liquid? You know why? Because he has to travel through the desert, so he can take with him a supply of water. Now Yaakov Avinu knows that he's going to a desert, to a spiritual desert. So he has to build up a supply. So he goes for 14 years, and he learns Torah in the mothers of Saint Eva, just to survive later 20 years with that food. And there is one explanation. When it says Ro'isi, when the Malach says to Yaakov, Ro'isi is kolash alovan oisalach, I saw everything that Laban is doing to you, it's time to go. So what is Laban doing to you? He forces you to deal with textbook. It can spoil a person, there's no question about it. I mean that's a lesson today for people. There are many people who are in the middle of college studies and they have to complete their college studies. It's a wonderful lesson. Sit a year or two in a yeshiva and build yourself up before you go to law. This is a wonderful lesson. Build up a supply. But in any case, it must have been a great yeshiva. Where are the traces of Leibniz? Why don't we find any traces in history of people who are studying in that issue? I personally have an assumption, I don't know whether I'm right, that if you are familiar with the Code of Hammurabi, I have my personal assumption that Hammurabi was to the school of Shem Be'eder what the founder of the Christian religion was to the school of Yeshiva and Brachy. So we have traces of one spoiled student of that Yeshiva. And that's it. In Rambam, in the first parak of Yosef Sadeh Dezorah, in something becomes very clear that nothing has a perpetual survival. The same as an individual has a lifespan, a nation has a lifespan. Any group, any organization, any group of people have a lifespan. And then they disappear. Avraham Avinu was given a gift by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his descendants will never disappear, will always survive. And that's the survival of the Jews. That's that promise. Now, Shem Weber didn't have that promise. It's interesting. What was the merit of Avraham Avinu? The merit of Avraham Avinu was that whatever he learned and he knew, he went out to share it with him. Shem Weber was a beautiful yeshiva, but I don't think they can listen. The people came to the yeshiva, fine, you're a nice student. To go out and canvassing, that was a problem. It's very interesting. And if you learn the first parak in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Rambam will find it, that he says it, and this gave the source of Avraham Avinu of survival So, and by the way, we should know that that truth is the greatest truth. Today in our time, the people who are going out and going out to bring Torah in such corners where Torah was not known, that's a problem. As a matter of fact, it reminds me, it says Rashi in the beginning of Lech Lecha. I'll make you to be a great nation. I'll bless you, and I will make your name great. And you'll be a blessing. So Rashi says one of the meanings in that passage is the Broche of Shmoneh Esrei. The Eschol Gegodel, I'll make you for a good nation, for a great nation. זה שאומרים על הכי אברון. נסר ונסר, הכי אברון, דעת נסר. ואברך ועל בלשיו, שאומרים על הכי יצחק. וביצחק יצא דעת ויברכי אשר נכון ועל בלשיו. ואגד לשמך ועמד יונאים גרית, זה שאומרים על הכי יעקב. Why? Because יעקב is תוירו, and תוירו is the same as the Then Rashi says, Yochai Yehoshman. I may think that will complete the Broche by any one of them. He tells him, you be the blessed. But you, Mogin Avraham, they wouldn't say Mogin Yitzchok, they wouldn't say Mogin Yaakov, they will say Mogin Avraham. But you, they will complete the Broche. And so many times it makes me think of the survival, the Jewish survival. What makes the Jewish survival to the end is the schus of Avraham, of going out, and then it seems that at the time before Mashiach will come, the activity will be the activity of Avraham, the chochos. Very interesting. The end of the goal of the activity will be focused. But in any case, that the survival was given as a gift to Avraham Avinu. Now we have a question. The question is, it says in Medrash, Lo Nitzol Avraham Elo Bizkus Yaakov. When Avraham was in danger, what rescued him? The future grandson, Yaakov. Yaakov is the Amud HaTorah, and it is the Torah which rescued him. So here we are talking that between the three of us, Avraham is the survival. And here we are saying that Avraham himself survived in the schus of Yaakov. What's the answer? The answer is that survival can be improved. The fact is that Poland, before the war, was not a country that it was convenient for people. The people and the government were hateful. The government regulations were hateful. It's impossible to describe. I was there. And It was a terrible condition. You know what a koshmar is? Huh? Nightmare. It was a nightmare. I remember, I could travel, not that people, Jewish, Polish citizens could not travel in passport, but I was not a Polish citizen, I could travel. And I remember one morning, I traveled from the city of Riga, which was not here, to build a fortress. And the morning when I came and I saw the Jewish papers, I realized the night was last night. So I left, I wasn't a country, but you couldn't eat. And here all those were restrictions. It was a nightmare. But where was a Jewish community alive? Was in Poland, not in America. In America, but the Jew had all, not even in Riga. In Riga, the Yiddishkeit was upheld by Chabad. The Chabadnikis, Lubavitch, they kept up. If not for them, we would be a vegetable. Well, it was not a natural, but the Chabad is shut down. It was not a natural life. Poland, in America, was terrible. You remember, I told you about Look magazine, came out with the vanishing Jew in America. And then the magazine vanished. Remember the story? So, and it seems that the persecution kept us alive. And it's not when you say the Haggadah, and you say the Hisham Dalav is in the Lord, remember? And this is what stood up for our parents and for us. Not in every generation there is somebody who wants to destroy us. The Haggadah go from us and the revenge on us. So people translate what stood up for us, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu was saved. So why would they persecute him? Why would they persecute you say? The same thing is the question we say, we have to thank Hashem for taking us from Egypt. Grateful to Hashem. Say hallelujah. You have the story of that fellow, and this may happen with the Israeli police at all times. They catch a fellow, they beat him up, throw him in jail. After 2 days, they take him out. Should he thank them for taking him out? Who asked him to throw him to jail first? So, you thank the Rebbeinu for taking us out of Egypt. Who placed this in it? Who threw us in that? So why do we thank him? It's not a question? The answer is, it says in Sfut, in the Parsha of Vayigash, it says over there, Sfun, and he said, Al-Tiram Erdol Mitzrayim, and the says to him, they say, when Yaakov is on the way to Mitzrayim, and he has a vision, and he said, don't fear going to, down to Egypt, out of it, you down, I'll bring you up from there. So the Sfun says, what was it? Yaakov Avinu as a prophet saw the troubles of the Egypt. And the says, Yaakov, you have to become a nation. That country where you are equal citizens with everyone, you'll never mold to be a nation. Go there. There, when they cannot sit with you at one table, it says, you cannot eat in the same table bread the Egyptian with the Jew.
over there when they will give you your identity.
That was foolishness.
So sometimes that's the inconvenience. The inconvenience of being a Jew is working for us, is preserving us from assimilation. Now there are two things which can preserve us from assimilation. The same thing as you want to place something on the table. You have a solid and you have a liquid. A solid you can place on the table, you don't need a plate, you don't need anything. You have a piece of solid, you place on the table. If you have a liquid, unless you have a container, you can't place it. Why? Because the molecules don't attract each other that strong. So it will spread out. So what do? You have a container pressing them together. A solid has enough attraction in itself that it doesn't need, he is keeping himself from within. The liquid has to be kept together from without. So, what is keeping the Jewish people is either Torah or slavery. But Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to Yaakov, in order to give the Torah is not going to be given to a family, the Torah is going to be given to a nation. How do you mold a nation? Let them mean slavery, they'll become a nation. Then the Torah will be given to them. They will give them freedom. And it goes together. So therefore, Avraham Avinu was given that gift that his children will survive. How? With Torah, they have a way to survive as free people. Without Torah, they'll have to survive as a people. That's what it says in the Haggadah. If we would not come out, it would not be, we would have to survive, but we would survive as well. In any case, is it clear what I say? I am just asking myself whether I am not talking to you. Because people are, it's easier to talk than to listen, you know that. Now we have time, almost a half an hour, to marry. Yes. Yeah, very good. No, I want to break the monotony. Come on.
is it true that the Jews, they kept slaves like
yeah.
Powers, like two powers of two of them, and they call it such spirits that we were see, because they said, Washington, you don't even a slave, never escaped.
I don't know what they need magician for it. Take a look at what Soviet Russia is doing. Can you leave Soviet Russia today? No magic over there.
What about David? Did he not have all the power of the humans?
It is very possible. It is very possible. But I'll tell you, we have enough ways of understanding things in our simple way, not go into mystical things which we don't know, we don't understand.
I thought this was the duty of
you know what that project meant to Israeli television.
Yeah, and I'll tell you all those things. There is no question about it. That behind everything, the system of creation is so perfect that we can understand the creation in each and every level and have a complete system of it. So, rather than handling a non-palatable level, which we don't know what's going on over there, and Kabbalah has it, and the Ramban is warning, and the Ramban in the introduction to Chumash, he says he will have passed this where he is explaining things, and he says, don't try to understand them, you are not ready for it, and he warns you. I think we have plain to understand and to study the entire existence in a tangible and logical way. And we don't have to go to the non-tangible, which will lead us up to mysticism. And mysticism is definitely not a good. Because people have a tendency to fool themselves. It's an attitude to fool themselves. It says, "Vatere ha'isha," the woman saw, "Ketov ha'itva ma'acho," that tree seems to be good, tasty as food. The tabu hulayinai, and it's a temptation for the eye, the nechmad hula haskil, and it's also desirable for intelligence. And then happened the story with Elisa. Now, the question is, she has three things. One thing, it's appetizing. It promises you to be tasty as a food. It's a temptation to the eye. Fact number two. Fact number three, it is desirable. It is something which should be desired because it will make you smile. Why do you need number three? If it's tasty and it's tempting, eat it. Why do you have to add number three that it's desirable? The answer is, this is human nature. People are doing things because of temptations, but they translate it to themselves and to everybody else that they do it because it's a smart thing. So we have to be very, very careful to stay away from any area which will help us in rationalization. This is called rationalization. Mysticism is beautiful. It's so easy to rationalize. Because you can see. It's dark over there. And as a matter of fact, Christianity went into mysticism. There have been Jewish sects. If you know the Shapsi Tzvi went into mysticism, Jakob Frank, which was the most notorious, was all mysticism. And which was very bad. But they created everything. They had to do the longest things in the world. They explained that this is going to have a good influence on their creation and full with mysticism. And here was a man in Hebrew University, Yasser Shalom, who was the expert on Jewish mysticism, the great Kabbalist. And he didn't know what he was talking about. But he is the world expert. So, and I think we can be plain, rational, and on a very logical level, understand things. Let's go back to C.S. Mitzrayim. Now, we understand that the Haggadah says, if they would not be freed, we also would have been slaves today. Now, we have a good reason to celebrate that wedding. Because that wedding made us free people. If not, we would be slaves. So, it's not only what happened to our parents that we celebrate what happened to us. But now is the question, does it make any difference what kind of fish was served at that wedding? And it says in the mitzvah we have to. The Yisholcha Bircha Mocha Lema Moedis, not Moedis, Mazois, the Shaila Zatam, the Amart Eilem, the Choyzik Yod, Heitzoni Hashem Mitzrayim. Why do you have to say the Choyzik Yod? Or the Amart Eilem, the Abuzer, also Hashem Mitzrayim. It says in Mitzrayim, Hashem took me out from Mitzrayim. Why do you have to say Choyzik Yod? Why do you have to? What's a strong hand? The strong hand, the Chozek Yod, means supernatural. The might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is displayed when things go out of the routine of natural cause and effect. That's when it's displayed. And the Torah wants us that we should remember the drama. How it happened, how we went out. We went out because of you. We have to remember the Ezra Makos. To understand the Ezra Makos. It's all... So, at one opportunity, I think I repeated the Ramban, what the Ramban says. The Ramban is talking, he says that the nishit, the miracles which happened, were a great lesson in many fundamental beliefs. The existence of Hashem, and above all, providence, and also prophecy. And then the Ramban says this is not going to be repeated constantly in history, so therefore the Torah wants us to remember. I would like to say it in short. The Ramban says also that everything what happens to the Jewish people is all by providence. It's not a natural cause and effect. And the Ramban says so sharp, you'll mark yourself, it's the last piece of Ramban in Parsha Boy. Over there it says. And he says, and let me read to you what he says. She'ein le'odam chelek b'teras Moshe. A person doesn't have a share in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, ad she'na'amin, until we believe, v'chol dvarinu mikrenu, and anything that happens to us, she'kulam nes, they're all a miracle. There is no nature. There is no min hogish alaylam, no cause and effect. Bein b'rabim bein b'yochim. He said, do I tell you the story with Bunim alo ha-shalom with this province? I told you the story. Maybe I'll tell you again. I have to wake you up. But this is only for people who know a little the area around New York.
Bunim, you know Bunim, the Ethics from Sinai, have you seen that book? He was an industrialist. He was a very wealthy man, textile. It's still now, he occupies the 40th floor of a big building in the Gaon Center, Garden Textiles. So he tells the story, a business acquaintance comes into it, and as they are talking, Yudim says, next week in Yitzhashem, I'm going to Boston. Boston is also a friend of his, Walden Mills, also a great textile empire. The Fuses, I don't know. So next week I'm going to Boston. In Yitzhashem. The fellow is an American fellow. What does he know about the Yitzhashem? From his bar mitzvah training, he doesn't know what's going on. So he says, Irving, what's in Yitzhashem? He says, I think I'm going the way of Providence. Then this is one of the most important things to realize, that what's happening to us is by way of providence. But there is nisim nistorim and nisim gluyim. There are hidden miracles and there are open miracles. Hidden miracles means that things look very normal, very natural. But still there is somebody planning. And open miracles is what happened in Mitzrayim. It says when a person sees open miracles, he starts to realize that maybe also. So let me tell it to you in short what it means. I am not too curious to read a newspaper. Why? Because really, when I want to know, when I read a paper, I am not concerned what happened. What happened is past. But out of what I read, I want to have some idea what's the expectancy for tomorrow. How is it going to look tomorrow? When you read a paper, it's always you're not interested what happened. You are interested, you are curious, and you are interested really. You have a concern, you are concerned. How is it going to I have in the paper, let's say Arafat is meeting with somebody. I don't care for his meeting, but I want to know what's coming out from that. Right? The only thing is, when I get, I am realized with that Ramban, that the entire international scene is a puppet show. A puppet show is, I sit in theater. And here, on the stage, there are puppets dancing, talking, singing, fighting, performing, are they smart? Are they talented? The only thing is that the whole thing is just an imagination because the entire moment is somebody behind them pulls strings. This is exactly what's happening on the international scene. You know, there is a pasuk. You say it in the Yinoi, Yipol Nitzitro Elef. You say that person. In the Noyam, right? Translate it. There will fall 1,000 victims on your left side, 10,000 from your right side. The result will be to you it would not come close. Take a look. Iran and Iraq. How many people are being killed in Iran and Iraq? And if not for this, we will attack Israel. Take a look what's going on in Beirut. How many people? If they wouldn't have a fight among them, they would be here.
So, it's by way of providence. What's happening? Yatsir gvolis amin lebnisbot na yisoy. But who knows it? Everybody is looking at the prophets. Who knows that there is somebody behind? But when the man who pulls the strings goes up on the stage to take an applause, suddenly you realize, oh, what prophet is the man? That happened in Egypt. In Egypt, the man came on stage. That's why we have to remember. Now, is it clear? Huh? I think it's very clear. And this we have to realize. Yes, please.
Has he ever come on stage since, or when will the next time be that he comes on stage?
It says, Pisem Yode Odena La Kole. Suddenly he will come. Prophet says it will come sudden when you wouldn't expect it. But on the other hand, as sudden as it will come, we can learn a lot. We can learn a lot. We live in the most unusual period in Jewish history. The most unusual. Physically, we were at the brink of being totally destroyed. And out of that destruction, in some miraculous way, yeshivas were saved. The store of Torah, the miracle of Shanghai, I don't know whether you're familiar with it. I think there is already a book about the miracle of Shanghai. The writer has recorded facts, but he is not a talented writer. So, you read, it's not... As a writer, he is not talented, but the facts are all true. And it was a miracle. The survival of Torah. Now, the miracle how Torah is spread today. In all places, which it's unbelievable. I remember in 1953, I came to Los Angeles. In 1954, I was, I think, I spent a day in Denver. And Denver was a more, Los Angeles was a city without any traditions. But Denver had some traditions before. And I'm walking in Denver on the street, and I said, kids are walking with their kippot. I said, Yarmulkes. I envy the people in Denver, and I have to see to Los Angeles. Los Angeles was undreamed of. To see a Jewish boy with a yarmulke in the streets, that was in 1954. Today, tzitzis are a style on the streets of Los Angeles. At that time, there were one or two families in Los Angeles who sent their children to learn in a yeshiva. So, they sent their children to travel for 4 days from Los Angeles to New York by train. It took 4 days. One or two families, entire community, nothing. Today you have kollelim and you have yeshivas. And all over, you find the same thing. Now that survival, and that survival of people coming back to Yiddish, right out of nowhere, people coming back. This is very, very unusual. But in Chumash it says, the Hoyaki Yavoya in Parshat Tzaviv. והוא יקיבי אליך הדברים האלה, כל הדברים האלה, הברוכה והכללו. After you go through all the blessings and all curses, you'll come back, you will come back, your children will come back, and then he'll bring you back to your land.